want to look for a few moments on these verses under Judah's just deserts. Here's a people who had been blessed greatly by God, and yet they turned their back on him. Therefore, the judgment of God is about to fall upon Judah and Jerusalem for all its wickedness and for all its depravity. God is bringing judgment upon them. They had turned from God, the God who had led them into the promised land, the God who, as we have just read, who has fed them, a God who has given unto them all things that they have needed, who had guided them, given them his prophets and given them his word, his laws and commands. And yet they turned from him, and they had gone after idols and false gods who were no gods. Gods that were powerless to help them. Gods that were powerless to save them. Gods that were powerless to deliver them even from their enemies. In chapter 2, verses 27 to 29, Jeremiah records that the kings and the princes and the priests and the prophets, they say to a stock, to a wooden idol, "Thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us." They're not looking to their idols to arise and save us, but they're looking to God. "But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith the Lord." They worshipped idols. They gave to idols the worship that was rightly due to God. But these idols were empty. They were impotent. They could do nothing. And so when they come and cry unto God, God challenges them, "Why are you crying to me? You have transgressed my laws. You have turned away from me. Why are you crying to me in the time of trouble?" So for all of their treachery, for all of their turning away from God, their backsliding, their disobedience, God will bring a destroying enemy upon them. In verse 6 of chapter 4, "Set up a standard toward Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and the great destruction." For all of their treachery, for all of their wickedness, God is going to bring great destruction from the north. Death, destruction, and desolation would be Judah's just reward for their treachery against God. But in the passage we just read, we see in verse 1, first of all, the ready mercy of God. "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek in the broad places thereof. If ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that will seek, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." He issues a challenge to the people of Jerusalem. Go through all the streets. Look in every home. Go to every part of the city, even the marketplaces, the broad places thereof. Examine, look, search diligently. Leave nowhere out. Every private dwelling and every public place, seek out. Look for a man. Any man. Even just one man. Will you find one? In all the city of Jerusalem will there be one man, a just man, an upright man, a man who loves God's law. Seek. Run about in every street. Can you find a man that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth? He exercises justice against the wicked. And he does so with fairness and equity. He doesn't favour one man against another because one man is wealthy and another man poor. He applies the law with justice and equity, without partiality, without showing favour. Doesn't matter who you are, what your social status is. If you've broken the law, I'm going to execute judgment. No respecter of persons. High or low, rich or poor, it matters not. In James chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth a gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? In verse 9, James goes on to say, if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Executing judgment and fairness and righteousness and justice. One that seeks to know and live by the truth of God's word. One that has a clear conscience, able to discern right from wrong. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So he's looking for a just and righteous man, one who lives by his faith in God. Habakkuk 2 verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So if one can be found, any man, find a man, one who is just, who lives by his faith in God, a righteous man, God will pardon the city. When ye through the streets of Jerusalem, if there be any man, I will pardon the city. In Genesis 18, verse 32, God has come to Abraham and spoken of his judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham pleads with God, if there be some righteous men in the city, will you destroy the city and the righteous with them? Will the righteous die in Sodom? And verse 33, God says, if there were 10 righteous found in Sodom, he would not destroy the city. For all of its wickedness, God would save the city. He would not destroy the city of Sodom if there were 10 righteous men found in that city. But this is not the city of Sodom, this is the city of Jerusalem, this is the city of God, God's people. Surely we should expect to find more righteous men in the city. But such was the depravity and the wickedness of Judah, that not even one man can be found amongst the inhabitants. If there was one, he would pardon the city. But the fact that there's going to be judgment upon it and the enemy will come down from the north shows the extent of their depravity, that not even one man was found amongst them. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. If there hadn't been for that one small remnant in the time of Isaiah, Israel would have been destroyed. Jerusalem would have been destroyed. But here we find that not even one man is found in the city. And so judgment, God's judgment, would come upon him. Ezekiel 22 verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I find none. Ezekiel was looking for a man, a righteous man, who would stand in that gap, that breach that had been made between God and his people. Who will stand in that gap? I look for one to stand before me and for the land that I should not destroy it, but I find none. There was none even in Jerusalem, the capital city of God's people, and not one was found. We see secondly in verses 2 to 5 the rotten heart of Judah. Verse 2, though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. So first of all, they make a profession of faith that proves to be false. In chapter 3, verse 10, we read, yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. They had not done so with a whole heart. They had not turned to God wholeheartedly. We looked at before in chapter 1 verses 1 and 2, if Israel would return unto me, if they were sincere in turning unto God, they put away their abominations from the sight of God, and shall swear the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Here was a truthful, heartfelt swearing unto the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and righteousness. But here they say the Lord liveth, but they were not saying it with their heart, merely their lips. It was false. They were drawing near with their mouth. Isaiah 29 verse 13, as people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honour me, but have removed their heart far from me. They were just going through emotions. They were saying the Lord liveth, but they did not believe the Lord lived. And they did not honour him as such. Yet the Lord sees. Verse 3, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? The Lord sees and knows the heart of man. He knows the sincerity of the heart of man. And he knows that they are swearing falsely. Genesis 6 verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He saw the imagination of the thoughts of his heart, and it was only evil continually. His eye is upon the truth. They may deceive themselves, they may deceive one another, but they cannot deceive God. They may think themselves to be a righteous people, a holy people, a religious people. They may think that by merely going through the actions and merely uttering words that they're worshipping God. But God's eyes are upon the truth. He sees the heart of man, and he knows the wickedness and falsity of their heart. Secondly, they refuse the correction of God. They refuse the chastening of God. Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. They were stricken. They were punished. But that punishment did not grieve them. It did not turn them to look to their hearts and say, we have sinned against God. Chapter 2, verse 30. In vain have I smitten your children. They received no correction. In vain God punished them. But they would not receive that punishment. They would not hear. They would not pay attention. It did not convict them of their sin. 2 Chronicles 28. Verses 19 to 23. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord, and out of the house of the king, and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. And in the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord. This is that King Ahaz. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Assyria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. God brought Judah low because of Ahaz's sin. But in his time of distress, in his stricken them, in his smiting them, he would not be corrected. He trespassed yet more against the Lord. So when God punished him, he sinned even more. God smote their children, but they would not be corrected. They killed the servants of God. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. So when God sent those to correct them, they killed them. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 11 to 17. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck, and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion upon his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, and despised his words, and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or maiden, old man, or him that stood for age. He gave them all into his hand. They had rebelled, and God had compassion upon them and sent his messengers, but they mocked him. They mocked the correction of God through his prophets. They despised his words, and they slew his prophets. They would not receive the correction of God. They would not submit to God's chastening. Hebrews 12, verses 9 and 11. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. We don't like being chastened, and it is grievous to us. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So the Lord chastens those whom he loves. But they would not be chastened. They would not be corrected. They would not turn to the Lord. And they became hardened and determined in their refusal not to return. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 4 to 9. And he said unto me, Son of man, go and get thee into the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech, or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech, and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. As God made Ezekiel hard-faced and determined, so we see here that Jerusalem had made themselves hard-faced. They were determined that they would not turn to God. In verse 4, we see the poor. They're described as foolish. Therefore, I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish. The poor, they're many spending their time making a living for themselves. They don't necessarily have that luxury of learning, much learning. And so they are foolish. For they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of God. They are ignorant of his word. And they're ignorant of his coming judgment upon them. Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. But thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. They were poor and they were ignorant. Yet they, even in their poverty, they were to know God's laws. They were to learn God's laws. But they were willingly ignorant, and their ignorance was no excuse. They may not have been very learned, but even the poor are to know God's law. Jeremiah 8, verses 5 to 7. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as a horse rushes in the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord, ignorant of God's judgment upon them. And then in verse 5, there's the great men. The great men are not ignorant. The great men do know the way and judgment of the Lord. but they break their bond, that covenant bond. And we get on to the great men, the learned men, the wise men, the rulers, and speak to them. They have known God's way. They have learned the word of God and the judgment of God. But they have broken that covenant. They've broken the bond. They refuse to obey God's word. Micah 3, verses 1 to 4. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel. Is it not for you to know judgment? Who hate the good and love the evil? Who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones? Who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, as they have behaved themselves ill in their doings." These were the leaders and rulers of Israel, of Judah. And this is their treatment of the poor people. They do know the way of God. They do know the judgment of God. They weren't ignorant. And so they willingly, willfully broke that covenant. They broke that yoke. They refused God. And so thirdly then, we see the righteous chastening of God in verses 6 onwards. The righteous chastening of God. We see in the first instance, verse 6, the threefold description of the enemy. Speaks of the lion. "Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them." Chapter 4, verse 7, "The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant." The lion from out of the forest shall slay them. The wolf of the evenings or of the desert shall spoil them. The wolf. Ezekiel 22 speaks of the wolf. Ezekiel 22, verses 23 to 29. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst of thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. And have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening to the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And their prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully." Ravening wolves and lions. "And a leopard shall watch over their cities, watching, waiting. And anyone that goes out, they're going to pounce on them. They'll be torn in pieces." The judgment of God, the enemy, the lion, the wolf, the leopard. And why is this? Because their transgressions are many, and their backsides are increased. They have strengthened. They've hardened their hearts against God. Hosea 13, verse 7, "Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, and as a leopard, by the way will I observe them." Waiting for for the enemy, waiting for their prey, ready to pounce. Jeremiah 6, verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. The fruit of their thoughts. They're getting their just deserts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. They've rejected God's law. They've rejected God's word. And so the fruit of their heart has come upon them. Judgment of God upon them. The just deserts of God upon Judah for their sinfulness. Chapter 4, verse 18. Chapter 4, verse 18. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it's reached unto thy heart. This was because of the wickedness of their heart. This is the reward. This is the reward for their wickedness. Chapter 2, verse 17. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee by the way? And verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. This is coming upon them for their own wickedness, the reward of their wickedness. We see in verses 7 and 8, the threefold description of their transgressions. Thy children have forsaken me and have sworn by them that are no gods. They have gone after idols, spiritual whoredom. They have gone after false gods. They have turned from God, the true God, and gone after false gods. Spiritual whoredom in verse 7. We have physical whoredom also in verse 7. They committed adultery and assembled themselves by trips in the harlots' houses. They're going after harlots. Spiritual whoredom, physical whoredom, and adultery. Verse 7, I had fed them to the full, then they committed adultery. Verse 8, they were as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Three examples of their sinfulness and their wickedness: the spiritual whoredom and going after false gods, physical whoredom and adultery, going after harlots and their neighbors' wives. And what makes this all the more wicked and sinful is that God had fed them. I have fed them to the full. They were as fed horses. They didn't need anything. I had supplied their needs, all of their needs. I have nourished them. I have fed them. God had fully provided for them. And yet, rather than return to God with thankfulness, they turned to God with treachery. He had fed them. He had nourished them. Isaiah 1 verse 2, O hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. I have looked after them. I have cared for them. And they have rebelled against me. After all that God had done for them, yet they rebelled against him. Ezekiel 16, verses 48 and 50. Ezekiel 16, verses 48 to 50. As I live, said the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, nor her hath not done she nor her daughters, as thou hast done thou and thy daughters. Behold, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took my way as I saw good. Pride and fullness of bread. They were looked after, they were cared for. They had need of nothing. And yet, in the abundance of their idleness, they committed abominations. So God took them away. He had given them all that they needed. He supplied everything. It's like God feeding the children of Israel in the wilderness. Quails and manna from heaven, water from the rocks. And yet still they murmured and turned against them. No thankfulness, but rather treachery. They returned his good with their evil. And then we see in these verses a threefold question, threefold challenge. Verse 7. How shall I pardon thee for this? How shall I pardon thee for all the good that I have done thee, and for all the treachery and all the rebellion and all the turning away and going after false gods, for all thy whoredom? How shall I pardon thee? The depth and the depravity of Judah, God challenges them and says, how do you expect me to pardon you for all that you've done? How shall I pardon thee for this? There's no repentance. There's no turning. They have hardened their hearts against God. This is God's people. Judah, Jerusalem. And so he challenges them, how can I pardon thee? How can you expect forgiveness in the face of all this wickedness? In verse 9, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall I not bring judgment upon this? Is it wrong for me to bring judgment upon thee for this? Shall I not visit thee? Shall I not punish thee? Shall I not chasten thee? Do you think that you can do all of this and get away with it? That I would turn a blind eye to it all? Shall I not visit thee for these things? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Shall I not require justice upon this nation? I had heard thy cry in Egypt, and with a mighty strong hand I brought thee out of that bondage. I made a covenant with thy fathers, with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, to bring thee into the land of promise. I have kept my word, and have brought thee into the land of promise. I was with thee as I drove out all who were there. And you took over the cities that you didn't build. You took over the wells that you hadn't dug, and the vineyards that you hadn't planted. I have given you all of these things. I have fed thee to the full. You have lacked nothing. And yet you have dealt treachery with me. Shall I not seek justice? Shall I not seek vengeance? He is a holy God. He is a just God. He will indeed seek vengeance. It is a just judgment of God upon Judah and their just deserts, their just reward. As a people, as a church of Christ, are we faithful unto the Lord? Will he find us faithful when he calls us, or when he comes himself? Will we be faithful? Will we be exercising judgment? Will we be seeking the truth? Will we be wholeheartedly worshipping God, living for him? Will we take his corrections as wise and good for us, or will we harden our hearts against him? Will we submit ourselves to his word? Or will we go after the ways of the world, the idols of the world, the wisdom of the world? What do we as a people today, what do we as a church of Christ today, what is our due reward? For those who are faithful to him, for those who have given all to him, he has promised that the reward will be greater. Let these words challenge us. Do we acknowledge we need a pardon? Do we confess our sin before God? Do we acknowledge that he gives us all that we need? That he feeds us, he nourishes us, physically and spiritually? Shall he not visit us with blessing if we remain faithful and true to him? Or do we deserve his judgment upon us? Do we deserve correction? To reserve his vengeance. May we be not like Judah, or may we be faithful servants of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We close our service this morning turning to Psalm 25. Psalm 25 is an all of the same. Verses 7 to 11. And the tune is Kosher Walk. Psalm 25, an all of the same, verses 7 to 11. Let not the errors of my youth nor sins remembered be. And mercy for thy goodness sake, O Lord, remember me. The Lord is good and gracious, he upright is also. He therefore sinners will instruct in ways that they should go. Psalm 25, verses 7 to 11, standing to worship God.